The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, I appreciate it. Never take that for granted. Thank you for making us a part of each and every one of your mornings. Coming up, Unscripted with the Crack Man. But your tweets first. This is this one from B. Morianen, Brian M., who says, I've tried explaining sports betting to people with master's degrees, and it's like Dustin Hoffman with money in Rain Man. It is really an amazing thing how the point spread, or God forbid, a money line, if you try to explain that to him, it's just out of control. Good friend Chillionaire. Oh, I know what this is going to be about. Every day he tweets us, in the Yankees game, that play by the catcher can be attributed to high baseball IQ by our guy Austin Wells, AL Rookie of the Year. Also love Thursdays with Crackman. Shout out from Middlesex County from good friend Chillionaire. Crack giving you the thumbs up off air here. The numb guys, the Crackman is to Thursdays what football is to Sundays. Gil, Kelly, you should try to poach Randy McKay from Wisecracks. The two of them together, very insightful. We would never do that to Crack. Never do that to Crack. And I think there's a couple more. Michael LaFon 10. Gil, do you think this year's Saints team might be the equivalent of the 99 Rams? They're showing some evidence of that. Are you referring to the greatest show on turf? I think we are way premature in that. The Saints obviously have had a great 2 weeks, 91 points, near the most ever, 93 being the record since the merger for the most points in the first 2 weeks of an NFL season. But we are way premature on calling any Derek Carr-led team the greatest show on turf, which of course ended up winning the Super Bowl back in 1999. And that brings us to Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Crackenberg. Billy, what's happening?
Good morning. I came in a little bit gingerly this morning.
You were a little ginger.
And then I actually showed you my leg and you said, oh, wow.
I would love, I don't know if we can do this, but I would love for do a show and tell on your leg. It is brutal. This, yeah. Tell people what this refers to again if they missed.
Falling, slipping down, not watching what I'm doing, going 100 miles an hour. You know, looking to the right, but yet walking towards the pool. How smart is that?
Looking to the right.
Looking to the right. I was looking at something and not realizing how close I came to the pool. And literally, let's just call it, I walked into the pool. I mean, I well,
so
all my
even,
clothes on.
You didn't even slip.
No, I actually did slip on the end. And seeing the video run back, I actually did. I only watched the video once, too. It was pretty ugly. And I actually had like dreamt about it, like how stupid. I was just crazy. Yes, hitting my back of my heel, just caught the edge, but I couldn't, you know, catch myself and falling in the eight foot end, and just not paying attention, doing things 100 miles per hour, and banged my leg and my foot, and I knew I was in trouble in the pool. I was underneath the water, but I knew I was in trouble. I knew it. It was immediate pain. And I knew I, wow. I was in trouble. Then I swam. I'm pretty good swimmer, believe it or not. floater, anyway.
I'd just like to mention, I'm like Mark Spitz out there. I'm a regular Michael Phelps. Wait, so when you said you're in
trouble. The shorter end and got myself out. But I knew I was in trouble. I heard my knee going click, 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 click. And I was like, I had broke my leg. I had to break my leg. And unbelievably, though, went right to the the emergency room, and they did a x-rays which showed no breaks, which I was shocked, and did some MRIs and did a what's the thing like when the girl's pregnant, they put that thing, I can't think of whatever that is, because they were very I've been back and forth four times since then.
Ultrasound.
Because my leg's been on fire. The whole leg, the bottom of the leg is on fire. And
it looks like it's on fire.
No, they thought I had a blood clot. Been back and forth. That's the fourth visit to doctors. And I have to tell you something. You know, as a fan of the show, one of your guys that loves to bust chops about the sushi place, he helped me so much, Dr. Bregman. He helped me so much. He got me in places.
Yeah.
I could say this.
That is the greatest medical care you could ever get is knowing somebody in the field. Yes.
He, as I'm saying, I hope I could say this, but he had me go to the back doors of places.
Yeah.
And they, with waiting room full of people, they got me in the back, got me in to do the ultrasound with no, you know, his friends. And I go to pay. They're like, no, don't worry about it.
So no blood clot.
No blood clot.
Good for you.
Yeah. And
what is the damage? What is the damage?
Stupidity.
So no physical damage, no structural damage.
No structure. Unbelievable. You see how bad this looks.
Yeah.
No structural damage. And
you and Bidlin, both of you guys, strange injuries.
I have never really, I tell you what, I've been pretty lucky. I've never spent a night in the hospital overnight. Never. I've never really been to the hospital. So really, really fortunate for that. But if this makes any sense, and then I had a bad cold. I just got over it. Terrible, terrible cold going on around town. One of the worst ones I've ever had. That coupled with this injury, and it mentally got to me. Does that make any sense? Like, I realize now how much on the go I am. I'm out of the place every day. I am on the road, running around, doing things, and being confined to the home couch with my leg up on ice and heat, icy. It gets depressing. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable. For 10 days home, I'm not used to it.
All right. Now, here's the question, though. Is this a wake-up call for you?
Definitely. Like, slow down.
Slow
mentally,
down.
Because I'm going a million miles an hour.
What were you thinking about at the time where you fell into the pool?
You know, I was thinking about something for sure. It was such a shock when it happened to me that I actually forgot what I know I was doing something. Because I know I was looking to the right, thinking about something. And I just said, this is it.
Is this really going to change your behavior? Or are you going to forget about this?
No, I've been actually concentrating more on thought process, slowing down my brain. I can't sleep. I sleep, you know, off and on maybe 6 hours in a night. You know, I'll get up every couple of hours I'm so crazy. I'll jot things down. I'll open the phone, put the notes in the phone, something, you know, like that I want to talk about somewhere or think about something. And, you know, I'll have to, you know, I've never experimented with any kind of like, well, I have a lot of friends that do it, and like edibles.
Yeah.
They make you sleep more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
that's one effect. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I wouldn't want, no, I just want something to bring me down and shut my brain off, you know?
Is it working? Have you tried it?
No,
okay.
But I will. Right. No, I will. Maybe after basketball season.
Okay.
See how I can
see? See, here it is. You're not going to do anything.
Jesus. But
you seem a little rattled. That's all I just wanted to get across.
I felt a little rattled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt a little rattled. But
you seem like Kenny Norton in the corner when Jerry Cooney was going off on him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's funny. I actually know Jerry. Been with him multiple times. Staten Island guy and New York guy. And he had a chance. He had a chance to be the king of the world.
He had a chance.
Yeah.
By the way, I had to go back all that time to think of a boxer in a corner who was just getting destroyed before the ref would come in and stop it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And guess what? That's a great reference. I've never even referenced or heard about a reference to that fight, you know?
Because Kenny Norton was so much better than Jerry Cooney as a body of work, as a boxer. Like, Kenny Norton was one of the most feared heavyweight.
I mean,
that was the golden era of heavyweight fighters. But Cooney caught an aging Kenny Norton, right?
Right.
And then I think it was a second round, was it? Let me actually look it
That's
up.
That's amazing that you would actually, because that had to be, what, early 80s? I mean,
that was 81, 1981. Yes.
We were like 10 years old.
Yes. Oh, but boxing was so great. It was then, so, man.
What happened? Now it's
people got
UFC.
They got. By the way, here's the first thing I called up: Jerry Cooney's disturbing knockout of Ken Norton, the most devastating heavyweight KO of the 80s. Yeah, it was a particularly brutal knockout. Yeah.
Wow, what a great time though! What a great time for us as kids.
Remember, I've said this before. I had Ernie Shavers when we were at the South
Loved
Point.
Him.
First of all, when VEASAN first started, so we're talking like 2017 is when VEASAN started, but.
Yep.
In that time, I'm talking like it's like 30 years ago, all these old school boxers would be around and they would sign autographs at Planet Hollywood.
Yeah.
So you'd walk into Planet Hollywood and like Leon Spinks
was signing autographs. It was like a little thing. Yeah.
Ernie Shavers would be signing autographs and Bill, everybody would walk by them.
They'd be sitting there by themselves,
and I'm like, "Are you kidding me?"
Muhammad Ali said it was the hardest he's ever been hit is from Ernie Shavers.
So I had Shavers on a numbers game.
Wow!
So
I didn't know this.
73-year-old Ernie Shavers was on a numbers game at the South Point. He was largely considered, as you said, the hardest hitting of all the heavyweights.
Yep.
Ali said that, right?
Yep.
And I asked Shavers, I was like, he's 73 years old at the time, right? I said, if we stood up right here and you hit me as hard as you could in the stomach, would I immediately fall? He goes, oh, yeah.
At that age. Because I've seen him at the Hall of Fame and I talked to him. And he was in unbelievable shape. You know, we were in Canastota for my buddy Teddy Atlas when he got inducted in the Hall of Fame. And he was in unbelievable shape. And he said, I live in Vegas. I said, you're kidding me.
He was the nicest man. The nicest man.
All those boxers are. Those boxers are pretty nice. I'll tell you what. Boxing is a sport that's different, unlike like NBA and stuff and NFL. And NFL players are pretty nice, too, I noticed.
Sadly, Ernie Shavers passed away.
He died.
In September of 2022. I asked him, what do you attribute to the fact that you are largely considered or was considered the hardest hitting of all of them? And he said, when he was a little boy, he worked in a farm. And so he said all of the things he had to do with his hands and picking up large items outside. Bales of hay, whatever, he said, made him that strong.
You had him.
He was at the South Point. It was just me and him.
Unbelievable. You had him in the studio. You got
in studio.
Wow.
Because I think I met him at Planet Hollywood.
Right.
Nobody was talking to him. And I'm like, would you come on the show? It's like, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a great thing you did.
Oh, he was the sweetest guy in the world.
Ernie's been gone.
Anyway, I didn't mean to compare you to Ken Norton in the corner.
No, but that's great.
Will you allow me to take a picture of your leg and put it on air?
No.
No, you don't want to do that.
Okay. I do that.
Sorry, I tried.
No, I'm not looking for sympathy.
I tried, guys. More with the Crack Man. Unscripted right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for some action, our friends at First Bet have you covered. Sign up today to unlock exclusive promotions, plus watch and wager on hundreds of exciting horse races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one site. Firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. So one stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Gil Alexander, unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. The name of his podcast is Wise Cracks. He does that with John Orlando. You can follow him on Twitter at Bill Krakman with a K. Always interesting to see what you're posting. I always retweet what you post.
Yeah.
I always appreciate that.
Just as a final thing about the fall.
Yeah.
Just to make people laugh a little bit, break the tension a little bit here. So my tension.
Yeah.
There's a great movie with John Candy called Summer Rental.
I don't remember, but
So when he's down with his leg,
yeah,
I just with the way his hat, his sunglasses, he's out there trying to hold a pitcher of iced tea. It just was like this movie is so good. There's so many good scenes.
I only remember one thing from Summer Rental. He had a brutal sunburn at one point in the movie, and someone called him on it, and Candy, completely off script, right? Goes, good base, good base.
That's exactly what he said. No, that's a good base.
Good base.
He was burnt. It was burnt so bad.
Oh, it's so funny how little lines like that land on you in a certain way. They stick in your brain all these years.
No, the great John Candy. Absolutely loved him. And I just thought about him.
John Candy's a sports affiliation. You know what the famous Joe Montana thing?
No.
Joe Montana.
Oh, brought something to him?
No. The Niners are playing the Bengals. Not the first time the Niners beat the Bengals in the Super Bowl, because not that one in Pontiac, Michigan, but the second time, which was the famous drive at the end against Boomer Esiason in the Bengals, where the Niners drove the length of the field, and it was Montana to Taylor to beat the Bengals. I want to say it was Super Bowl 23, but don't hold me to that.
Okay.
But at the beginning of the drive, so the Niners need a touchdown to win this. Beginning of the drive, all, you know, millions and tens and hundreds of millions of people watching, Joe Montana allegedly got in the huddle at the beginning of that drive and says to everybody, he goes, hey, look, up there in the stands, John Candy.
Wow.
Pointed out that Johnny has like sort of a tension breaker.
Yeah.
Imagine biggest, like all this pressure. Sure. He's like, look, John Candy.
Wow. Yeah. And John, I think John owned or was a partnership in some Canadian football team, I believe. Maybe the Argonauts or something. But yeah, I think John Candy was a big sports guy. Loved sports, so I think he was. So
John Candy, who passed away in 1994.
My God, 30 years.
Yeah,
30 years. He was like 40 some years old.
He was
on a set of Wagons East in Mexico.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I know he did. He,
co-owner of the Argonauts, Kelly.
Oh, it was Argonauts,
yeah.
Right? Okay,
nope.
Good. Yeah, Argonauts.
Oh.
But first, let me tell you about this, because I know you guys talked about it early Monday morning. I'm sure first thing on the menu there was talking about the Survivor contest.
Yes.
So I have, even though I made some good money last year, and I had decided to invest about 60% of the money, though, to take a real good shot. This year. So,
60% of?
Of the money I won last year. I won about 40 grand last year.
And you won 40 grand. Explain to folks, because you were knocked out. Your entries were knocked out.
Yeah.
But you ended up as an investor.
Yes.
In somebody else's.
Yes.
So you had a percentage of their
10% of 400,000. Yeah.
Ultimately chopped entry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I won about 40 grand. I decided to put about 25 of it back into the contest this year. I have one entry left.
So you had 25 and you have one entry left.
Yeah. Had between partnerships and stuff. Yeah. About 25,000.
Yeah.
You want to know something?
Yes.
Now, I don't ever cry about spilt milk.
Yeah.
I have swings on college games of that much. I'm not trying to say, but I was really mad and upset. I never get upset about money.
Bill,
like losing.
I have been saying this again, this on a numbers game. No, Derek doesn't remember this or nobody remembers this. We were the only show talking about it the first year, right?
Right.
And I said then, and I say to this day, we lose bets, we win bets, and some of the beats are horrible, right? And we're so numb to it. We've built up so much scar tissue. That
That's a great word.
That those bad beats don't even affect us in the same way. Right? So, but Survivor has this special category of pain. And when you lose in Survivor, especially if you live with it a long time, if you're playing it away and you're like, no, I'm going for it. If it doesn't work out, you know, okay, that's a different story. If you're like, no, this is the way to play it early. And if I lose, I lose. That's different. But if you really are trying to, you know, play it in a way and you feel like, you know, the loss just shouldn't have possibly happened. It really does, especially if you get deep
so
into it. But this is after
this?
Two.
You said this the other day?
For years, I've said this about that. When you lose Survivor, especially again, if you've lived with it long, this is only 2 weeks in this case that you're upset. But, but particularly like late, oh my God, that hurts. Because it's not even you're losing, it's what you think you might have been able to win. And that's no longer, the dream is dead.
How are you in Survivor? Still?
Yes, I am.
You are.
Yeah.
Okay.
I only have two left. I started
only
with
have
five.
Two. That's having two is amazing. That's last week's. Now look at the Texans could have really
two
cost.
Two is amazing.
What are we down to? What are they down to? Like 4,000?
Less than 4,000.
Less than 4,000.
Yes.
That's
3,800 something.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So who did you have?
You know, it's amazing because I go between a combination. Randy sends me a text every week, and Fez sends me a text Saturday, 2 p.m.
Yeah,
every week. And both guys, without knowing, I don't think they talk. No, they don't talk. I mean, not that they're not enemies. They just don't talk. They both said, leave off Baltimore this week.
Yeah.
Genius move. Leave off the biggest favorite.
Cleve T.A. was on our show. He said, leave them off.
Both of them said, let's leave off Baltimore because we have 10% savers. And he said, let's use this, and, you know, Detroit. We actually used Jacksonville a little bit.
they all lost.
Yeah, it was a disaster. I think Randy's totally out.
Did you lose 24 of the 25
week? No. I lost 10 maybe the first week. And more, right. Maybe like, I think 11 the first week.
Well, Bill, you got one left. There's still a chance.
I have one left. I had one on Texans,
last
which could have lost too.
Could have lost. Texans are who I had as well.
Yeah. Texans could have lost.
Who are you going to play this week?
I already played it.
What'd you got?
Jets.
I'll
just let you know.
No.
So all the
Bills on the Jets tonight.
Out there.
Okay.
And you know, there's so many
wrong
angles. I'm sure you know, I'm not a trend guy. I don't do trends.
No.
And I know people swear by trends, some people, but they look for reasons to bet, just to gamble. There's some really short-term trends. And there's some statistical things that tonight all point towards the Patriots with the points. So Randy was on my show with me. Matter of fact, Randy McKay is going to be on Wisecracks every single week, giving out at least three picks.
Wow.
One of the picks he gave out was tonight's game, the Patriots. He was looking more towards seven because he said it touched seven for a second. I didn't see it at seven, but I'm sure it
did.
I
never saw it seven either.
But if you could buy it at the seven, but you can't really buy the seven.
I'm on the Patriots as well.
Yeah.
But you're still going Jet Survivor.
I put it in already. Yeah.
before you got Randy's?
I had it already. I had Randy's. So I'm just get this pain over with. Yeah.
just rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah. Get it over with.
Well, I hope the trends that people are following are not. We pointed this out earlier. Like, some people, I'm sure those bettors that you're talking to are sharper than this, but like, you know, you can see articles where people are like, oh, the Patriots are like 17-1 against the Jets the last 18. It's like, really, are we doing this?
The one thing that Randy said, which was interesting, teams that have played three games in 10 days, and that's amazing.
If Jets, Jets are 10, playing 3-11. 11. Here. Yeah, I think
Historically have not done well. I mean,
your guy Warren Sharp did a great job with this in the offseason. There are so many 3-10s and 4-17s this year. Like, the NFL preaches, we want to protect the players, but yet they've scheduled exorbitantly more 3 games in 10 days situations and 4 games in 17 days situations than ever in the history of the NFL. They don't care.
Right, right.
So just roll it out there.
So that's great that you said that, because I never heard you said that earlier. And going back to what you earlier said about getting knocked out of this contest.
Oh, I've always said
how
that.
Upset. Yes. I really don't usually. Let me tell you something. I am. I've had some of the toughest knockaround guys, gamblers, big money guys, said, Bill, I've never seen no one take a loss like you. You're the easiest, because you take losses, you take wins. I only have a couple percent edge, 2%, edge. Maybe 3 or 4 in certain markets. So you got to take the losses good. I mean, it's just what it is. I did not take the Survivor loss that well.
What do you think it was about that?
I just when you get a text from the perfect example, we were smart enough to leave Baltimore off.
Yeah.
The biggest favorite of the week. Looked like an easy should-win money line.
Right. But look at that. If we can flash that up one more time, it's just a minefield, right?
It is a minefield. Wow. Look at those red lines.
Look at the left column. Those are the most selected teams.
Wow. Like, I did not see that till today.
Yeah, look at that. I mean,
good
that's
job for the
VCing
guys.
Six of the eight.
Lions, Eagles, Jaguars.
Yeah.
I didn't know that many had the Eagles. But, yeah, I had the Eagles also.
I was surprised that many had the Eagles. I was surprised that many had the Jaguars.
Yeah. Jaguars, 3.5-point favorite. Cowboys. I was surprised more didn't have the Cowboys, actually. Boy, a lot of people were on that side.
But I point this out, too, because, like, we had, there are people who get far, and then they start criticizing other people's picks. How would that person do this? The lack of acknowledgement of the luck factor that is involved in this drives me up the wall.
When we get back from the break,
yes,
I want to exactly talk about that, what you just said. It's the biggest first paragraph I have here.
Oh, okay.
It's the first paragraph. You just said it. Of talking about the luck factor.
Absolutely part of it. We'll talk about that on the other side. Bill Krakenberger, unscripted, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa, Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. By the way, the boys back behind the window, Reggie and Brendan, Kelly's back there too. They're sending the tweets out here. So I have not read through these. I'm going to Ron Burgundy through all these. I hope it goes well. John Balduzzi. My sister-in-law called me years ago and said, hey, I was at a charity event in D.C. last night and had a very nice conversation with a really nice man. He said he was a boxer. His name was Smokin' Joe or something like that. I'm like, Joe Frazier? Yeah, man.
Jesus.
It's a different era, right? This is from Jerry Westgate. Something I've noticed regarding the new kickoff rule, Gil, taking the ball to start the game might create a double chance because the ball usually starts at the 30 and a half, at the 30, pardon me, 5 yards by receiving team or even one first down, then stall, auto flips field position. I'd be curious to, and I guess it goes on from that point. People are still trying to figure out what the implications are from the opening kickoff of games. Because I know Fezzik had some theories about, I don't know if he thought overs and unders for the team that receives. He had some theories. We'll talk to him about it tomorrow.
He comes on for the last...
Every Friday. So Friday, second hour, Friday is Felica, Fezzik, Dr. Bob.
Wow.
Is there a better hour than that? Maybe this one right here?
Yeah. There's a trifecta that no superfecta can beat.
Everybody's got some uh, some medical advice for you.
Yeah, Robert, no, these guys are really nice. I appreciate
this. Robert. He goes, legs on fire, same. I have spinal issues equals nerve damage. Oh, man. More damage than you think, just falling in the pool.
Yeah,
is that from falling in the pool? Wow.
No, that's a good thing I have some good doctor connections.
David Shalafour. So Gil ruptured both Achilles, Bill fell in his pool fully clothed, and Kelly's the one that drinks. Feel better, crack.
You know, it's thank you for saying that, Dave, because someone said to me yesterday, he said, wait a minute. You're telling me that you took this fall, you don't even drink. I said, no. Yeah. You know, Gil, you don't drink either, right?
I do not.
Yeah. We never had problems. I mean, I never had problems with it. I just never started. I may start doing stuff like that.
Buddhist man, a week at text rant bemoaning buying down to -7, -122 from Fezzik should be incoming any minute. Book it. I don't think so. I think he'll approve, actually.
Oh, yeah. He's a great, isn't he great? He's always great to us, that guy.
Larry Meir. Oh, listen, this is Larry Meir who works at VSiN. Watching Kelly and Gil from the D control room every morning is like watching an ex-girlfriend with her new boyfriend. Crew in the D closet. That's great. Larry, miss you, man. That's funny. They're back. They're still back there. You know, we left the D, but our control room guys are still stuck in
the
closet.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
That's a broom closet.
Yeah. I don't mean trapped in the closet like an R. Kelly thing. I think they're just still stuck in the closet is what I clarify.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing what goes into this show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because there's a ton of stuff, room here.
Oh, they're all back there. They're all back there. We can't just show up and it works.
Yeah.
They have to do it for us.
And throw a camera up like we do at home or whatever.
Let's talk about that luck thing.
Oh. So it was funny you said about the luck thing. So, you know, I think I told you this a little bit. I was doing it for my home studio last week, though, for a couple segments. The sick people I deal with, they're mentally sick because, like, they actually blamed me. I told you the first week, I have my buddy put up, he wanted in. First of all, he wanted 30 entries. And I'm like, you can't get 30 entries, $30,000. You only put 10 in each name. How many people do you think I have that's trustworthy out here in Vegas that you could put $30,000? But he's very wealthy, flies in his own plane. Anyway, it's funny that he's actually here now. He's like, oh, you're coming to the game with us Sunday, right? I said, no. Like they have tickets. I have no interest in going to the Raiders game. Never mind they're playing the Panthers. They could be playing the Chiefs.
I will only go to standalone NFL games. I will not go to NFL games.
Thursday night game?
Thursday night or a Monday night. But during the day on Sunday, I have no interest.
Yeah, like I said, he flies in on his own plane. He's smart. He doesn't have no... he has no commitment to gamble any certain time. He gambles, but there's no one saying, oh, you didn't gamble enough for this. You can't get that. He don't care. He just pays. So now he gets 20 entries. I get him 20 entries in the contest. And he always asks me every week, all right, what's the wise guys on, crack? So I told him, well, the wise guys are, the sharper money came in this week on Carolina. And the other, I think it was three games that week. So now he doesn't say anything. He goes, wow, Carolina, doesn't really say much. Now comes time to put his picks in. Sure enough, he says, you know what? They got a new coach, a new quarterback. I'm going against the Patriots. Let's put them all on Cincinnati. Week one. Mm-hmm. So when it was over, when the game was over, if you seen the text he sent me, he wouldn't believe me. He's like, I can't believe I listened to you with those wise guys. What? I can't believe I listened to you asking you. You asked me who the wise guys were on. He goes, I loved New Orleans, but I went off of them because you told me the wise guys.
That
wasn't part of the conversation when he called me at all.
Did you tell him that?
Of course.
What did he say?
He's just like, nah, it's my own fault. You're right, but I just can't. I shouldn't be asking you.
But his first thing was to blame you.
Oh, they never blame themselves. So yeah, and then I actually, the only thing I remember talking about to him was the luck factor in these contests, especially early weeks to see what teams are really as strong as they look like on paper. You can't tell from preseason. And I talked about the luck factor of this contest. He still never got over. He didn't care what I was saying about the luck factor. But there's so much luck factor that I actually said to myself, even though I was just kind of, I don't want to say I was reinvesting last year's money because last year's money was in my pocket. So, there's a great line from the movie 29th Street with Danny Aiello. He gets $400 and he blows all the money at the racetrack, but he had it up to like $2,000. So when he gets home, the kid says, oh, you only blew $400? He goes, no, I blew $400. He goes, no, you're up a lot of money. What happened to the money? He goes, that was their money. He goes, what's their money is their money. I blew $400. Even though he said, well, you had their money in your pocket. That's a great line.
Yeah,
I had their money in my pocket. And for me to blow that much, on this after 2 weeks. Again, it's just like I said, I've had bigger swings in my life, but it just said, I said to myself, the luck factor of this tournament early on, just like I told you.
Especially early, right?
Especially early
because, you know, we all pontificate for months in the off season. I do. Everybody does, right? But we don't really, especially now that there's three preseason games and these teams don't play their players in some cases, right? They don't play anybody. So, like, our knowledge of, we should never be that sure about what's going to come out of the gate. And so the Bengals are notoriously bad starters. I got nailed on a couple entries by them too.
Yep.
And so, you know, that one got everybody. And then even 2 weeks in, a whole bunch of people hit mines. And I'm just, what I was referring to is even later in the season when someone is fortunate enough to advance deep, right? I have heard people who have come on our air and have talked about how the ego gets in the way and they start disparaging other people's picks.
Jesus.
Like, bro, you think this is you? Now, part of it is you. I'm not saying it's all luck, right? Part of it goes into the thinking. We think through it every week. But you also, like even a poker player that is set up for success, there is a luck percentage. Mathematically, like you could still lose if the wrong card shows up.
That's right.
And this is that in football form. Because ultimately, you still have to hit, in Circa, a 20-team money line parlay.
Yes.
You're not allowed to use the same team twice.
Yep.
Over the course of a season, if you have to get to the end of it. By the way, Fezzik was ruminating yesterday that this high a percentage, 72%+ out through 2 weeks, which is a Circa record in the first 5 weeks.
Wow.
By the way, he believes it may not get to the end this year.
Wow. Okay.
And if we have anything carnage-y this week,
right,
he might be right.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Meanwhile, I'm doing great in the millions. I have like 4 tickets that are 8-2. So
good for you.
I have 8. Like, okay. And between that and the Westgate, I have some great.
What did you have this past week? That's really good that you're 8-2.
No, I'll actually give you a synopsis of it if I can get to it real quick. Yeah.
Synopsis.
It's simple. I get two different guys' picks, and I get all their picks, and I get to pick the ones, and if they match. I'll play, you know, like Raiders was number one on the card. So
yeah, never in doubt.
Raiders plus 9.5 at the Westgate, too. Yeah. So that was a really good line.
Yeah.
Green Bay,
nicely done.
Vikings.
Yeah, nicely done.
Pats covered, I guess. It must have. Pats plus 3.5.
Patriots. Patriots. Did Patriots cover in the end?
That might have been my only loss, though. Yeah. Was the Patriots.
Patriots did cover. Okay.
The Patriots did cover.
Yeah.
Bengals, Bears, Falcons, and the Carolina was the loser. So I had those to go through. Mm-hmm. To pick, and you know, I could have actually went 5-0 really, but yeah, so had some good luck so far.
So
that.
Now let me ask you this: 8-2, yeah. Circa, they have the quarterlies too. So this is always a good question to ask: is your brain thinking season, or is your brain thinking quarterly, or do you not even have to make?
I don't
a
even
distinction?
Know if the quarterlies 4 or 5 weeks. So you put it that way. So I guess I haven't even thought about it.
I believe the first one is 4, but it's don't hold me to 4.
So I haven't even
4.
Really thought. The luck factor there. Now I say luck.
Plinko.
You have to
everything's
get 70%. Like you know, that's like Jesus. If I had 55%. During the year on NFL, I'm overjoyed. So
I say everything's Plinko. I shouldn't say that because I have Las Vegas Chris's voice in my head when I say that. There's a certain percentage of game that are not of games that are not Plinko, but it is a higher rate of Plinko. What I mean by Plinko is the Price is Right game where the metal
love that
chip bounces through rungs and then all of a sudden quickens up and lands in a slot.
Lands in a slot.
That's the difference in such a high percentage of these NFL games. Beating the spread and not beating the spread is which slot does it just sort of end up in at the end? More with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget to stay tuned to VSiN after A Numbers Game for Money Moves with Stormy Bonnetoni and Matt Brown joins her once again today. That's at noon Eastern, top of the hour, Stormy and Matt. On today's show, they'll be joined by VP of Operations at the D and Golden Gate Casinos, Mike Paul. VP of Operations at the D and Golden Gate Casinos. Is he not the VP of Operations at Circa 2?
He might have got fired.
Then stick around at Prop Points with John Hansen at 2 p.m., followed by Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4 p.m. Am I just hearing that there's no Mike Palm on the show? Is that what I'm hearing? No Mike Palm today. That's incorrect. What I'm reading. No Mike Palm. Well, he could have had Mike Palm, but now you've offended him and no more Mike Palm, just like that. So it's Money Moves, followed by Prop Points with John Hansen, and then Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Your VSiN schedule. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book again. You are as much a part of this show as Bill and I are. L.A. Joneser. Oh, it's Greg Jones. He's one of the choppers in Survivor last year. He got to the promised land. He goes, Thursdays with Bill Krakenberg is my favorite media hour of the week. I can listen to Bill's stories for days. More importantly, Kelly is right about The Wire. I didn't catch it the first time around, and it's unwatchable now. I assume he means in San Diego. Survivor over by Christmas, he says.
Wow. L.A. Jones, my man.
Well, Greg Jones, you might be a great Survivor player, but you certainly don't know your television. Sorry about that, man. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Oh, we love Bubba.
Oh, he's
he says,
a good
no
guy.
Such thing as house money. Once it's in my pocket, it's my money. Great show.
He's right.
Yeah, Bubba _ trading. This is from TWJD Todd. He says, Bill, there's one remedy for those type of people that you were talking about last hour. Block them. It's not your fault they made their decision. Looking to blame for their mistake. Talking about your
very
Survivor
good.
Partners.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Gil, do you know about this latest? You want to read one more?
One more. Sure. Jay Welch, 31. He says, I've been a daily listener for about 5 years now. How did I just now learn that Gilly has an older brother? Oh, yeah. I have an older brother. Yeah.
Very cool.
I don't know if he's being sarcastic or not. They know everything about my life.
Is he the doctor?
He was, yeah.
Oh, he was. He's retired?
He said,
he's that old?
He's kind of old.
Or he's that rich? You could tell me.
No,
it's okay.
He's kind of old and grumpy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let me, the Oakland A's, which now want to come to Las Vegas.
Yes.
You have another one?
Yeah, John Candy throwaway lines. Polka, polka, polka from the Numbs guy. I don't remember.
Oh, that was from, I think that's from Uncle Buck.
Home Alone.
Home Alone, right.
Home Kelly Alone. Tells me Home Alone.
That's right. He had that little scene there in the back of like a one of these carrier trucks or something. Love John Candy.
Kelly tells me that he's in Survivor. He's through 2 weeks also. And he said somebody, he's on, he does a radio spot in Florida.
Right.
And somebody complimented him. He goes, hey, congratulations for getting this far in Survivor.
Were we
and Kelly's too? Like, it's 2 weeks.
Yeah. Wow.
Congratulations. Based on the percentage that are out, though, it's a pretty good feat.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So the A's were coming to Vegas, supposedly. So they met with these contractors. Did you hear about this? They're going to 30,000 seats and 3,000 standing room only seats, six-tier stadium. That was this week announced.
So the entire capacity is 30,000?
Doesn't sound like a lot, right?
Oh, my God. That's the smallest stadium in
30,
baseball.
30,000 seats, 3,000 standing room. Who's going to stand only? Like,
oh, they do that at Giants games. Oh, yeah.
Really? Like, just they do stand in the back. That's right. That's right.
SRO,
that's right.
Baby.
Yeah.
But that's for McCovey Cove, and it's beautiful.
Right.
You going
right.
to do that in Vegas?
Yeah. No.
I don't know.
I don't understand the six levels, six tiers. But, yeah.
Wait, is that because the plot of land?
It must be. Because how can, and you're right, that has to be the small stadium, 30,000 seats.
I suppose.
I mean, there's places that
well, there
are,
is something to making a small stadium because, you know, Camden Yards was the first sort of modern day stadium to do this. If you make it small, the supply demand, it feels different.
Right.
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 Those old cookie cutter, you know, when the Reds used to play at Riverfront Stadium or the Pirates used to play at Three Rivers.
Yeah.
Those were these massive football stadiums. But if you make these smaller ballparks, the demand and supply work out a little better for the ball club.
So yesterday it was just Randy and I on my podcast. That's Wisecracks podcast on YouTube, Action Junkies on Spotify. The reason why I say that is some really good segment yesterday we had about not the latest, it's been going on now for almost a year, this slot scam, but it happened to people I know now.
Ooh.
So a guy I know was called over by a well-dressed man. This guy has a team in town. This was at Caesar's Palace, but it happened downtown, too, I know. It happens everywhere with these guys, and there's probably other crews that do this. They'll call you over and say, hey, sir, and they'll have a fistful of money or have some, and they say, can I show you something on this machine here? I have to go to dinner with my wife, and I can't play this, but this is a big advantage. You should play it on this Ultimate X video poker machine, which always has these squiggly lines going around the Ultimate X symbol, which, yeah, this is in an Ultimate X bonus mode. You should play this now. And what it does is people come to the machine. They actually, when they play this particular machine, it builds up. If you get dealt a hand, automatically the next hand is worth 2 to 12 times the next hand payout. So if you get a full house, the next hand's worth 12 times the payout. So what they look for is you to win on one hand, and then, all right, let's change. Let's go to this one. And they try to build up all the multipliers. Hmm. Now they leave you back, and they say, sorry, I had bad luck. Meanwhile, all the multipliers are all built up for him to go back on there and take these machines. I've seen it multiple times. My 81 year, well, he was 80, he's 83 now. He's 81 years old when, a year and a half ago, I guess, is when it first happened to him. And I didn't know what he was talking about. And I didn't even get it at first. Well, now someone else that happened to just this past week, same thing. I said, you know, you should get a video of this person. I'll blast them to show what's going on, because casinos really don't want to get involved in something like this. They're not technically robbing the money from you, so there's a fine line you
right, toggle. The person getting quote-unquote scammed is none the wiser. They didn't have a bad experience.
Right.
Because they're just being shuffled off. They don't know what they're being shuffled off for.
Yeah. So, but I'll tell you right now, this is happening. If someone tells you something is so good, oh, come over here, I got to go to dinner, I don't have enough money for this, or I didn't. Listen, it's the line from Don Corleone. Why do I deserve this generosity? Like, that's just, why are you coming
why
to me?
Why do I deserve
this generosity? It's so true. So it's just something that I noticed, and I feel it has to be talked about, because also, the more people we can tell, the better it is for everybody.
Also, I've brought this up with you before, and I think this is true. The way that casinos with the eye in the sky are watching blackjack tables, for instance, is one thing. But in slots, in the slot areas, they're not watching anything.
They're not watching much. That's exactly right. They're not watching much of anything.
It's not monitored in the same way. And so that allows for all of these slot shenanigans to happen.
Yet someone sent me a tweet this morning. Or no, it wasn't a tweet. Whatever they're called on. And I don't really do Instagram.
Instagram.
Okay. Someone sent me this Instagram this morning. And it was, I won't put the volume on here. MGM Corporation cracks down on thousands of slot players, telling them no more free play, no more comps for advantage players. Now, what this means is those people that play the bonus machines, you go, and that's all you do is play these bonuses. When people get off, I call them sour rooters, when they're rooting against someone, they get off the machine and they build up a bonus so they can jump on the machine. So they gave out a whole thing about all free play will be removed. You will not be invited to events. Your reservations will be any upcoming reservations will be canceled. Your points earned can still be redeemed. So they're giving them their points back. But this is an interesting thing that they're actually throwing out the slot players, because, like you said, usually those surveillance guys. And by the way, people think, when you go in the casino, they're surveillance. Listen. Do you know there's like two or three surveillance guys up there? You know, four, maybe on a busy weekend more. But that's covering a 100,000 square foot casino. You're right. They're not watching every inch of slots and everything else. So I find it interesting that someone's actually throwing out these slot people that are just, all they do is go around looking for bonuses, and they're probably not worth anything long term to the casino, because they don't really gamble on anything. A lot of them, you can see, they're like mathematical guys, and they're just in there just to take advantage of that. So
you think that's the first of many to come, or do you think that's just isolated at one casino?
Think that casinos are still be so afraid of any lawsuits that I wouldn't think this would be happening. Before we go off air, we have to congratulate all the sports books, how much money they made these first 2 weeks of the season. I talked to one guy back east in risk. He told me, he said, not to mention the book, it's a giant book, by the way. He said, we have made more money in the last 5 days than we made on the Super Bowl last year. I mean, he goes, it was unbelievable.
Wow.
So,
and not surprising based on the results.
So I don't want to hear none of you crying throughout the whole season, because I will get that tip bucket out and start blasting you again.
None
of
you is crying.
Anybody. All the money they make, all the money they've made off people, off parlays. And, just throw the Eagles in there. Yeah, throw the Eagles and Baltimore money line just to enhance our parlay payout. They're giving 9 points. Yeah, they got to win. I mean, the money they have made, they got the, give us some drink comps is what I'm asking for. Jesus.
All right. I'm on the Patriots plus the points tonight. I may have an under bet by the time there's kickoff, because I do think under is going to happen. But you are on the Jets and Survivor, sir.
Yeah, I'm dead.
All right. I'm supposed to be rooting against you.
Yeah, but we could both win.
We could both win. That's true. That's possible. Good luck to all of you. Thursday night football, whatever it is you're betting today. Again, sorry about the tennis, but if you're a subscriber, VSiN.com/picks, that's where all the tennis plays are, because they're in Asia, the ladies tour, both in Korea and in Thailand. Stormy and Matt are on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.